This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Rock is coming out to play.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Draymond coming out to turn it over. The crossover is brought to you by Abundant Life Weight Loss. They know the secret to losing up to 1 pound of fat every day. Go to AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com. Let's welcome in Mark Willard, Dan Dibley.
The guys.
They're down in Santa Clara getting ready for the big Niners-Rams clash. What's up, gents?
Boys, how we doing?
This is
Dynamite.
A playoff game tonight. You guys are there.
Aren't they all?
They all are now.
Yeah. They all are now. I mean, the Niner players were sort of saying that after the game against the Bears, but that one felt a little bit more like, it felt like a pre-party. I'm with you guys, especially with the primetime nature, Thursday night. This is the one that feels like the Niners will help us decide whether they've still potentially got action the rest of this year or not.
Wow. Yeah. It's tough to envision a loss tonight and them getting to the playoffs.
Oh,
let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the Warrior game last night?
The refs, dibs, the refs.
Right. The refs, dibs, the refs. Yes, and let's start there, but let's make sure that we highlight the actual issues. But
okay.
Let's start with the refs, dibs, the refs. So, first of all, loose ball, and Gary dives for it, and FVV kind of half falls on him. Didn't think it was a foul. Why Gary decided to shovel the ball to no one, that has nothing to do with the refs.
Good
and
question.
Then the ball gets shoveled, and you have multiple players asking for timeout, and timeout's not granted, which a timeout, as you know, Steiny,
sure,
it's a request. It's a timeout request. And you have two officials looking at the player, and for some reason, neither one of them wanted to grant it, and then the official from the baseline runs in and calls a foul. My big issue was the lack of collaboration. It should have been a collaboration sensation where the three refs huddle up and the one ref says, I got a foul. And the other two refs go, gee whiz. They might have wanted to call timeout. Like the three guys making the signal right in our face. They could have easily huddled and rectified it and given Houston a timeout at that point. But if you want to take all of that away and you look at just the action of Kuminga on, I guess it was Jalen Green on the floor, there was no tie-up. Kuminga fouled him. So whether or not you ever call that or not is a separate issue to me. And yes, you want to let the players resolve it and all the rest of it. For me, the biggest issue that I have is that the referees didn't come together and try to make that in the best possible way and find the best possible resolution, which would have been timeout Houston. Now go ahead and score Houston with 4 seconds left.
Yeah, the only reason I'm thinking that they didn't grant a timeout is because maybe they didn't think anybody had possession when certain guys were signaling for it. That's the only thing I could I could think of.
Well, I was listening to you guys earlier when you were sort of like, it almost, and I get it, it's like a baked in, almost gotcha hypocrisy thing on Steve Kerr when you're like, you're complaining that it wasn't a foul, and then when you're asked, why didn't you review it, right. You say, because I wouldn't have won the review. But I liken that call, and just to spotlight that thing, because Steve made such a big deal out of it, it'd be no different to me than going back 10 years ago in baseball, and in the old double play where you were just in the neighborhood of second base. Yeah. If you want to spotlight that and say you weren't on second base, you're allowed to do that. And the slow-mo replay would suggest that you're right, but we all damn well know you don't do that. And as an umpire back then, you didn't do that and you don't do this. But like, I'm with Dibs that there are 10 things that we could point to that have nothing to do with the refs. I was personally stuck on why Steph Curry shot that shot when he shot it. That I don't like. I get that night moment. He thought you could see in his response after the game. You could see that in his eyes. To him, that's a layup. To him, and that's the way crazy talented people think. He's like, I've got that shot. I make that shot in my sleep, and I'm doing the night-night, and we're on our way to Vegas. I get it. But the bottom line is, as a team, you got to take advantage of what the mistakes the other team makes.
Yep.
And Houston wouldn't foul you.
No.
And that, and as long as they weren't fouling you, just stand there. And then when the shot clock is about to go, huck the ball at the rim. Well, that's what I would have done.
I'm right with you, and that one is why that's number one on my list. And when I sent you that text, I know you weren't happy they lost, but you're happy they're not going to Vegas. Then I butt dodge you. But did you hear Curry's comments after? Curry's comments were like, basically, I'm paraphrasing, and this is what concerns me moving forward. And I know he's getting older, but when he talks about the Rockets defense being that just hellacious defense, you don't know if you're going to get a better look. To me, that's almost giving an award to the Rockets defense for two things. One being menacing, and the fact that the great Steph Curry is thinking about, I might not get a better look, so I got to take a shot when I shouldn't shoot it. And if you play that right, like a great violin, while that scrum's on the ground, the buzzer goes off. Nothing to see here. That's why it hurts.
The problem with that is that no look with 3 seconds left on the clock would have been better than missing the look that you got. So it's one of those where it's like, you can take it, but you better make it. And he didn't. And so the more concerning comments for me from Steph after were where he basically said, look, if we keep having these kinds of problems in the final 2 and 3 minutes of basketball games, we're going to be a very mediocre team. It's still early in the season, but this is clearly in their heads. You can see when the clock hits 2 minutes, hell, Bob and Kalena, they're talking about it, where they're like, okay, up by 6 with 2 minutes, and immediately it's like, let's see if they blow it, Bob, and poof, there they do. So, like, it's already in their heads, and then it got confirmed again last night, and that's obviously not good.
Yeah, I mean, they lack offensive players who can score in the last 2 minutes of a game other than Steph. And they're relying, this is where his, you know, his size doesn't help him. You know, you can't stick him down in the low post like you could a bigger player. He's got to do his work against, you know, other guards and try to manufacture a shot. And the reality is after Steph, they don't know where they're going to go. You know, they want it to be Kuminga, and they tried for it to be Kuminga on the last possession, and then Draymond turns it over. Like, that was quietly an awful pass to Kuminga.
Awful.
Awful.
But Steiny, my thing about it is, you know, we all rip Shanahan for red zone inefficiency, but what are the Warriors running? What the hell are they running over the last 3 minutes when you have back-to-back shot clock violations and you're basically, your offense is high screen for Steph Steph, go ahead and be a hero. If not, we've got nothing. So for me, if you're going to rip Shanahan, you need to rip Kerr similarly, because the last 3 minutes of a game is akin to the red zone. And what they did in the last 3 minutes of the game is unconscionable. And yes, I'm using Steve's word because he wants to talk about how unconscionable it was that the referees called what they called. Well, what about what they did on offense? Because beyond the what, there was the Pods 3, the Kuminga 3.
Two shot clock violations.
Yes, they did nothing. Like, what are you running? What is your get a bucket play at the end of a game? It can't just be, you know, Draymond screen for Steph and hope that Steph is the hero. Come on.
We went five rounds. You guys tell me who you ain't got. I know you're going to side with Stoney, but it's okay. I still love you.
If you're going to come Mark,
out,
right?
If you're going to come out last week and say we're going to marry Kuminga, basically, we want him to be more involved. Draymond said it, Kuminga said it, and hey, I'm not saying this guy's Michael Jordan, but last night was an opportunity, and I told Steiny I didn't like the way that you had to involve Draymond to go Vinny Testaverde to get him the ball. There was an easier way to get Jonathan Kuminga the ball, Willard and Dibs, and see what he surveys and see what decisions he makes. And if he falls on his face, that's how he grows. But to dial up that play, Steiny said, and I'm paraphrasing, they didn't trust him creating with his handles or getting to that plateau of surveying the court. And I'm just like, well, what are we doing here if that's how you feel? But yet you're telling us that it's going to be Kuminga-centric. Let's live and die with the growing pains. Well, it can't be any worse, Will.
You are correct. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't make predictions, because you predicted correctly that I would not agree with you. That is exactly right. To me, that's the streets talking. I get it. That's the way we ball when we're at the local park. I don't think the Warriors have any interest in handing Jonathan Kuminga the ball and being like, brother Cook, go. Get us a bucket.
Just on that's a possession, not but, a game, but, a possession,
no,
Willard.
The biggest the possession of the game.
It's a one-point game, and there's 30 seconds to go, Goo, and I don't think they believe in him to do that, and they shouldn't.
Wow.
He's not that, and I don't, like, I also don't buy that they openly sit, like, what those things that you sort of cited that they said last week,
yeah.
I don't think they mean that, where they're like, okay, it's your team now, Kuminga. Go, like, let's see, and if we lose a game, oh, well. Like, I don't think they look at it that way. I would much rather have the two-man game with Steph and Dre, and if it leads to a pass to Kuminga, that's fine, but it was a bad pass. That's the problem with it. But conceptually, no, I that's not where, like, as a Warrior watcher, my head is. I don't want a Kuminga clear out in a one-point
game.
Give
it to him on the block. That's what I was telling, like, Steiny. Easier than having Draymond be a part of it.
Yeah. On the block sounds better. That sounds better. The way you pitched it earlier today was give it to him at the top of the arc and let him cook. And I just don't think that is anywhere near the most effective thing the Warriors can do.
Help me out, Dibs.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Yeah, I just think there's a difference between the guy who makes the decision late in the game and the guy who ends up getting the last shot. Sometimes it can be the same guy. But, like, I'm sitting here saying, what do you want? They ran a nice play. He had a guy on his back. They were, the play was for Kuminga to take the biggest shot of the game, and Draymond didn't deliver. Dibs?
Yeah. And that is, I think, like play five out of a series of four or five plays where they did not deliver. So my bigger question is maybe more global in terms of what are you doing at the end of games? Because clearly what they're doing is not working. Why can't you close out games? Why did you go 3 minutes without a point? You had two shot clock violations.
Oh.
It looked to me like offensively you didn't really have any flow or any plan other than set a screen for Steph. And if he doubles him, give to Draymond, and then Draymond will kick it over here. It doesn't feel to me like there's a lot of offensive strategy down toward the end of games. And then the other one, guys, I think it was about 30 seconds left, and they made a sub, and they brought Looney in, and they put Looney on Şengün, even though Draymond had been really flummoxing him. He'd been stifling Şengün, other than the near flagrant, and it was probably a flagrant 0.85. I thought it was going to be a flagrant, but the fact that it wasn't, I just want to remind Warrior fans who are all like, oh, it was 8 against 5 all night. Well, that would have been a flagrant in many, many other circumstances, and it wasn't. But then you put Kavan on Şengün, and Kavan got absolutely toasted.
Yeah.
Shout out Avocado. So I don't know what they were doing defensively to make that switch.
Wow. And that bucket came way too easy.
Oh, man, left.
And a little too quickly, because even though there was still only a three-second difference, it was still a three-second difference. And, yeah, I mean, on the last possession, or not the last possession, but on the penultimate possession with Steph Curry, you know, I just think if you treat the shot clock like it's the game clock and you're trying to shoot a buzzer beater, you might be able to win that game if the ball doesn't get rebounded cleanly, even if you miss. But, you know, he like, this is one of those things where, and Festus said it after the game, he went too soon. He did all those things, but he's made that shot a lot in his career. He has. And then we get the night.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you want to give him a nod for showmanship, which is, you know what I mean? Like, sure, that'd have been a memorable moment, a big shot. It's a we're going to Vegas shot. It's going to get played all over the internet, you know, for the next 24 hours. I that's alluring. I don't hate that idea. But again, I mean, I used to have youth coaches tell me this because I loved the outside shot too. And I took a lot of, if you take that, you better make it shots. And that's what that was. And he didn't make it. So, and I he did an okay job of facing the music afterwards, but you have to face the music and you have to take your share of the blame pie when you shoot a ball with 11 seconds left and then you leave the game open for all kinds of things to happen and some bad things did.
I also think, you know, the other thing, one of the reasons he might have thought about going a little early, if he thought he had a pretty good look at that time, was, okay, I'm going to try to put the game away right here. If I miss it and they get the ball, guess what? They're not going to score because they can't score against us either.
Right.
But they did the worst possible thing, or the worst possible thing happened to them, depending on the way you look at it. They fouled. And so now, I mean, I'll take my chances with the Warriors up one, 6 seconds to go, set up in their half court. Houston called a timeout, and now Houston's got to try to win the game against our set half-court defense.
Totally.
I give that a 25% chance of working if you're the Rockets.
At best, with the way things were going in that game. And so, like, to me, the big word here is and. You know, Dibs, and everything that everybody's saying here, this is one of those days where a bunch of things are all right. Like, I think what Steve said in the press conference is fair. And the Warriors messed this up five different ways. You know, they just did. I don't think you can expect that foul would be called, because it never is. And you know, bodies are rolling all over the place as you're trying to get after a ball. So there's no way to think that would happen. But listen to all the questions we've all just asked about Peyton squirting the ball, about Steph shooting it when he shot it, about what's happening at the other end of the court, about the previous shot clock violations. They're all valid.
Man.
They're all valid.
There were six on the night, and this is the third time, and I know they're playing better defenses in the last four games. They failed to crack 100 points. You get to the free throw line eight times, six of them by one player, Jonathan Kuminga. Like, I know there was no Wiggins and they missed him, and maybe the game turns out differently if he had played last night. But the bottom line is, Willard, Dibs, that help wanted sign is still in the Warriors' window for that bona fide number two score. And if they're going to keep this up, because it's kind of the same, it ends the same way, the water gets turned off offensively, they got to do something.
I don't know who that person is and how they get him.
Man,
the more we talk about this, and I know that, you know, the LeBron thing is going to be the holiday topic until we learn otherwise. That seems a little far fetched, not completely out of the realm if he were to want it, but I don't know, man. When you, the big problem that a lot of us have been talking about is that Jonathan Kuminga makes $7 million. So if that's your big chip. Yeah. How do you go get a different big chip when the money has to match? I just don't, who is this person? You know, you and I have had so many conversations about number two is currently not in the
building.
That's
real.
Okay, what building is he in? Who is he? Where is he right now?
I'm at the point.
And is he gettable? Yeah,
I'm desperado. Would you do, Jimmy Butler. I don't know how to, I mean, but if that could happen, and he's got the Warriors on his list, the X's and O's, I don't, man, you know, I'm the last one. I'm just saying, I'd rather run Curry's last years and Dre years with that. And I know it's going to hurt the future a bit, but I feel like we owe him that. I would love to see Jimmy Buckets, Steph, and Dre, because let me tell you what's not going to happen. 6 shot clock violations and 2 of them happening in the last 3 possessions. I couldn't believe that. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's to me, it's beyond just the players on the court. For me, it goes to the coach and what are we doing offensively? Where is the sets? Where's the scheme? To have 6 in the game is bananas to begin with, but to have 2 late in the game and you get into a spot where, you know, your best play is basically your only play, which is Steph, go save us. Steph, go out there and make a 3. Over the last 3 minutes, that was basically about all they had, other than, you know, Kuminga dive into the hoop and Draymond. And that's a difficult pass, Tiny, as you know.
Yeah.
It's a bad angle for Draymond, and it's a bad way for Kuminga to try to catch that dive into the hoop. But again, for me, where is the play? Where is the scheme and the set? Something that could be more reliable to get you a bucket, because the last point you scored was Kuminga free throw with 3 minutes left.
Can I ask you all a question?
Sure.
And so there's all the number 2 score stuff. There's the way the Warriors are performing down the stretch. How many press conferences do we already have? What are we, 24 games in? How many post-game press conferences do we already have where the focus has been officiating?
I want to say 3 or 4. That's interesting. I told Stani that coming in.
Last night, there's the Memphis game, with the one that got all out of hand down the stretch where he was where he ran after the refs after the game. I also feel like
there was one recently. Like 5 games ago.
Was it the Denver game or what? Like it was.
Yes, he wanted a timeout. He wanted Brown.
I would argue that in less than a third of a season, that's a lot of conversation about officiating after games, because there's always the games where you don't like the officiating, but as a coach, you know damn well not to say anything.
Yeah.
Steve has elected to talk about this at least 3 times in the first 24 games. What do you think's going on there?
Frustration, because Willard Durant on the table to me is he has valid points, but at the end of the day, the game is won and lost on the hardwood, and I think he is at wit's end. Do I have the guys that can do it, or is it eroding around me? But that, to me, Willard, in that sequence, and I saw it last night, is pure frustration. Not that he doesn't have any merit and is valid, but that's frustration, man. I believe.
I think one of the problems the Warriors have is, and this is their issue the last 3 to 5 minutes, they don't have a lot of shot creators. And we can go to Mel. What about Steph? What about Wiggins? What about Kuminga? And, you know, we could argue till we're blue in the face about how good they are at creating their own shot. But I don't think they've got enough of them and enough of them that can generate a quality shot.
Man.
And that's where, you know, I hate to do this, but yeah, they missed Wiggins last night. They did. They did.
No, that's real.
I mean, it's
there's
just
nothing wrong with that.
You know, if you don't have a secondary scorer, then it's better to have 2 possible secondary scorers when Kuminga and at least Wiggins play in the same game. So, and you have Steve Kerr today at 4, right?
Oh, no, wow. No, he's been bumped till tomorrow.
Okay.
Steve Kerr has requested tomorrow, 5 o'clock, and I don't know if it's to give himself an extra day to kind of decompress after that. I know they're flying back right now, so it's a little bit of a tight turnaround, and, you know, they're not going to Vegas, so they all had to pack for 11 days on this road trip. Turned out to be a 1-day road trip.
Now they unpack.
Which, you know, always awkward when you come home off a trip and you have to put 90% of your suitcase back in the drawer, and you only put a little bit of it in the laundry. But I think, to answer Mark's question, the reason why he's been so frustrated with the officials in large part is because it's easier than being frustrated with your team. You have to live with your team, and so it's easier to be mad at the refs and look at the refs and what they did wrong as opposed to look at your team and say, look, you guys gacked it away over the last 3 minutes. If I'm mad at my wife, it's easier for me to be mad at my boss because I don't have to live at my boss.
Yeah, but I would argue it's not just about what if you're mad, it's that you it's how you choose to express that anger. And again, Steve came on with us last week, and this was after the pods banging of the table press conference, and clearly stated, I say nothing at a press conference that I haven't sat down and strategically decided to say. So I get what you're saying, Dibs, but I don't know if it's that I'm like projecting anger somewhere else. He may well be screaming at his team behind the scenes too. He's already called pods out in a presser. I'm just wondering why he is electing to make such a big deal about some of these end of game calls.
Yeah. Well, for me last night, it was about deflection. He's deflecting the attention away from the real issue, which is you scored 1 point from the 309 mark on. You had two shot clock violations and you basically gave the game away. So, yeah, you can say that it's the officials, and that was a bad call. I'm not going to sit here and defend it, although and many people talking about, oh, even an elementary school ref wouldn't have called that. And I, as an elementary school ref,
those were his words.
I have a little bit of a different perspective on it.
Would you have called it elementary school
I wouldn't
ref?
Have called anything.
Oh, okay.
I would have let the clock run out and gone down and sat down and had a sandwich. That's what I would have done.
Before we get out of here.
Usually turkey.
I got to ask French roll
travels well.
Hey, yeah. For the game tonight, is it wet? Is it moist down there? Water okay. on the ground?
Is it water on the ground?
Yeah, okay. it's a little spritzy at the moment, but we've been watching the report very closely, and it's not supposed to be raining yet. It is supposed to be raining starting right before kickoff, and it's supposed to get worse throughout. My hope is that that's a classic California forecast, which is to say, oh, it's going to rain. It's not going to rain, but we'll see. It is a little damp and dark for sure, and I was hearing you guys kind of talk earlier about Brock Purdy and the wet ball. I think that's interesting. I also think that Dre Greenlaw being activated
that's
and official
huge.
That is a massive emotional sort of a deal, and by the way, not the kind of thing that I love to say while watching Steiny put a bag on his shoulder.
The bag is on the shoulder.
Yeah, Dre Greenlaw is back,
yeah.
And that's inspirational. And your response to that, Steiny, is to get up and get ready to leave.
Yeah, well, I think
we got a show meeting, guys.
I think that's
makes sense if you're on your way to Santa Clara. You on your way to Santa Clara?
After the show meeting, I'm on my way.
Okay, Guru, we knew you were a man of the people. Steiny?
Let me tell you something. You guys do a great job. Bring it home tonight, and where you're going to be bringing it home is on 95.7, The Game.
It's actually at Hilton.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.